Turn in your Bibles this morning to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Today what we're going to do is we're going to preach about the Holy Spirit. In one capacity, and that's this. The Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit speaks. Look with me, if you will, in John chapter 16, verse 13. Let's pick it up with verse 7 for the context. 13 is the verse we want, but reading into this will help us a little bit. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, here's our verse. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Did you notice there in verse 13 that he speaks? He says, he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today. Just enjoyed every aspect of this day. I've enjoyed from the earliest time of waking up to the time there at the house in preparation for our day and the things that we normally do on Sunday morning, like all of these have done. I enjoyed those today. Really enjoyed being here with some of our men and praying before the services and having some good fellowship with the missionaries that are with us. And really, really have enjoyed the sound of the voices of our people in the foyer as we mingle. And during the song services where our voices are lifted together in praise, and to listen to the beautiful offertory piano special and the special music for this morning. It's just been a rich, rich, wonderful day. Thank you so much for the great lessons that you've given us in Sunday school all across in these various classes. Just been so good to be with you and be with our folks. And today, Father, we have the opportunity to open this scripture and hear from you again and to know the work that your Holy Spirit does. I'm asking you to help us today, Father, to really be able to concentrate on these passages of Scripture because they are so vitally important. I pray, Father, you'll clear our minds and clear our ears, clear our eyes and clear our hearts. Help us to be very receptive and very understanding so that we can benefit by these things. These are tremendous truths. I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will apply truth all over the building, in every heart, just as you please. We're asking you to do these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I was thinking this introduction is a little different than what I was considering, and I won't waste time. I'll get to it. But, you know, I was thinking that men that aren't saved, people that don't know Jesus Christ, men and women that are very talented, I mean, just they have certain aptitudes and certain abilities that go out into life and accomplish great things. We look at that and we think, wow, they did all that without Christ. What would have happened if they'd been saved? And they emphasize all of their physical capacity, and that's why they miss God. Because they're hard working, they have integrity, they have ingenuity, they have creativity, they've done phenomenal things when you think about what some men and women have accomplished. And they really have no spiritual side to them, no spiritual inclination whatsoever. They don't really do anything they do with God. And then on the other hand, we've known some great spiritual giants in life. We've seen some Christians who have done phenomenal things for the Lord. Just look at some of the record in the Bible after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and what some men accomplished. It's just phenomenal. And we look at them and we think, they are so spiritual. They're lofty. They live in a spiritual context that's far beyond us. They must have been in the Scriptures 5 hours a day and on their knees in prayer 4 hours a day and called down mighty things from God. And we have a tendency in life to separate those two things. And we have a tendency in life to say, the spiritual men that are really spiritual are all spiritual, and the men that have done great accomplishments physically are all physical. And so when you and I get saved, we sort of don't know how much of the spiritual to have and how much of the physical to have. I've seen people who are very talented by what God has given them get into a spiritual realm and think that everything about their abilities that was physical, of physical capacity, they just neglect it. And they don't accomplish exactly what God wants them to accomplish, and because they think that they have to be ooey-ooey in the clouds, hyper-spiritual. Have you ever seen that? Have you even thought about that in your own life? And so we sort of vacillate. Let me just say this. God wants your character. God wants your ability. God wants your talent. God wants your physical things that you have. He doesn't want you to lose that. What He wants you to do as you get saved is to develop a spiritual capacity that enhances what He can do with who you are. And one of the ways that He enhances that physical side is through the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the one that basically takes what that clay is and begins to put things in there that God can use in a spiritual capacity along with your personality and your capacity for human endeavors. A balance. And the person who does that for the Lord Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit. He comes inside of you when you get saved, and what He does is He begins to speak to you in various capacities. In this particular verse right here in John chapter 16, verse 13, we see, I'm going to change the preposition in each point, or whatever that word is. In the first case, the Holy Spirit, listen, speaks to you. In the first case, the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And what He's doing is He is teaching you the truth of God's words. The Bible says He will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of Himself. Whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. Now, because the Spirit of God is going to be used by God to build your spiritual nature, to grow you as a spiritual child of God, you can be sure that the devil will also use his spirits, his unclean spirits, to try to counterfeit the work of the Spirit of God and throw you off and mislead you. That's why the Spirit of God leads you into truth. Because the unclean spirits may jumble the truth in order to mislead you, but they can't guide you into truth. Why? Because their father is a liar and he cannot speak the truth. So this Bible that you have in your lap, this Bible that I have in the pulpit, is the number one thing the Spirit of God is going to use to speak to you. We get sometimes the idea that since there's a spiritual side, it's the Holy Spirit, that I'm going to start tuning into an ooey-ooey, a higher frequency. A ooey-ooey. Not that. He guides you into all truth. He is the teacher. So much so that John says in his epistle that you don't need a teacher. There's an anointing in you that guides you in the truth. Now that doesn't mean, oh, phew, good, we're going home. Because God uses pastors and teachers to edify the saints, to strengthen the body of Christ, to perfect the work of the ministry. But it's the Spirit of God that uses the preacher and the Spirit of God that teaches you. And without Him, we really should just pack them up and go home. He has to be the teacher. And you'll notice here that He doesn't speak of Himself. That's very important. Because you'll find that with men, when they started becoming more hyper-spiritual, they got into this idea that, hey, God has to work miracles by His Holy Spirit through me, and He has to speak in other languages through me in order to show everybody else how spiritual I am. And then when you get into a church like that, you know what they do? They magnify the Holy Spirit even above the Bible and even above Jesus Christ. And the Bible says He didn't come to speak of Himself. He came to testify of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ always holds the preeminence over the Spirit of God. Amen. Not only that, the Bible says, as he hears, He speaks. Did you see that? Whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. That is that when the Lord tells him that He is ready to teach you something that you need to know, then you'll know it. And before then, you won't know it. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about, because this has to be practical enough for you to do something with it. I have taught the book of John, I don't know, a number of times. I've read the book of John a whole lot of times. And I've studied in the book of John a lot of times. And I have gone over a verse of Scripture again and again and again, and I didn't know what it meant. And I had to teach it, and I taught as much as I knew, but I was always uncomfortable because to me it was like a piece of a puzzle that just didn't really fit. The sky was blue and all that, and it seemed to be there, but the edges just didn't snap in exactly right. I will show you that verse of Scripture. It's John chapter 20. And I'll show you why in just a second. John chapter 20, Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. He's appearing to the disciples. And then in verse 22, look what He does. John chapter 20, verse 22. For 21 for the context. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send I you." And when He had said this, He breathed on them and saith unto him, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they shall be remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." And right there He started the Catholic confessional. That verse doesn't make any sense. I mean, later on they get the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. I've looked at that thing and I thought, what is that? So the way most of us have handled it is apologetically. We just say, well, it's certainly not the start of the confessional. It's this. And the other day I was reading this chapter of Scripture just casually, just like you read the Bible. And it jumped off the page at me finally what was going on here. Do you want to know? All He has done here is given to the disciples the continuation of what He gave to John the Baptist. John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1 was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, and he preached the remission of sins. And he says here, you're going to remit sins and you have the Holy Spirit. It's an amazing... You're looking at me like, well, whatever. This is big! Concerning John the Baptist, Luke said to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. All he's doing is the law and the prophets prophesied until John. John picks it up from there and starts on, and Jesus says, we're not changing anything. We're going right along the continuation of that. You're also going to have the Holy Spirit. You're also going to preach the remission of sins, but this time in the completion of salvation through what I did at Calvary. It's perfectly in its context, and I've read that. You know who gave me that? A commentary. You know who gave me that? A preacher on the radio. No, you know who gave me that? I was reading it just like you normally read, and the Spirit of God says, now I want you to know what it is. And I'm going to tell you something. Up until then, I never would have been able to find it. You don't get it till the Spirit of God is ready for you to have it. When the Lord says, give it to Him, you get it. Isn't that beautiful? That's why you grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an infinite book with infinite wisdom. You only know as much as you know today because that's all the Spirit of God has given you. And when He wants you to know more, He'll tell you, may I tell you something? But you don't get it sitting there going like, okay, Lord, drinking my coffee this morning, just waiting on you to drop one out of heaven. You got to put your nose in the book. It also says here in John chapter 16, verse 13, that He will show you things to come. Well, now, what are things to come? Help me here. In the Bible, what do we call things to come? We call that prophecy. All right. It said He will show you things to come. Do you know there are five different views on the rapture? Right now, being preached by preachers who believe, who profess to be saved and who believe the Bible. The rapture comes before the tribulation. The rapture comes in the middle of the tribulation. The rapture comes pre-wrath, tribulation. The rapture comes at the end of the tribulation after it's over, and there is no rapture. Those cannot all be right. As a matter of fact, only one of those can be right, and four of those are wrong. Who messed up the other four? Well, perhaps the devil, perhaps men. What I'm trying to say, not what I'm, I have to be careful with that. God gave me the message, doesn't make a difference what I say. What makes a difference is what He says, right? You know what can mess up the work of the Spirit of God is some guy that comes in here and said, no, I'm going to show you a better way. When you get misled by somebody that's not preaching the truth, you're going to go off track. The thing that interferes with the voice of the Spirit of God in your life is man or an unclean spirit that you mistake for the leadership of God. You say, well, that wouldn't happen to me. Why not? It happened to me. Early on in the ministry, I was zealous to build in my life spiritual things. I knew I had capacity for some things. You don't run a bank being an absolute dummy. You can be some dumb, but you can't be an absolute dummy. All of a sudden, I had the opportunity to get into spiritual things. I said, man, I'm going to jump into all these things. And I heard a couple of things that preachers had said. And I thought, now there, right there, lies some real power. And I got off course. And later found out that wasn't God. So what you want to do is you want to be very balanced when the Spirit of God is teaching you things. Read your Bible. Pay attention to what you're reading. Let Him teach you. Come to church. Hear the preaching. Continue to build a solid foundation. And stay on track. And don't let men come with some strange, ooey-ooey, God-forsaken doctrine and drag your head away. And we've seen some of those. You say, how do you know when they're lying to you? The Bible tells you every time, because what they say just doesn't fit. All right, so first of all, the Holy Spirit speaks to you. To you. Here's the second thing. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, notice this. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Notice in verse 26, right there in the middle, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The second thing is the Spirit of God speaks for you. First of all, He speaks to you. Secondly, He speaks for you. You say, in what capacity? In the capacity of prayer. In other words, when you're praying, there are a lot of times when you don't really know what to pray or how to pray. I get called to the hospital. There's a person lying in the hospital bed. The family is all sad and they say, please pray for our loved one. What are you going to pray? That they get well and come home? That they die peacefully without suffering? What are you going to pray? What is the will of God? The Bible says here that when he prays according to the will of God. What's the best thing for the family? What's the best thing for the patient? Chaplains faced with that problem just read prayers and leave. And you can't do that. The Holy Spirit has to give you some direction in prayer to lead you in accordance with the will of God to the very best prayer and very best answer that God can give. And He's the only one that knows. And so He speaks for you. And sometimes, truly, you get to a place, if you spend some time in prayer, where you're praying and then you just run out of words. Because you really don't know what to do. But God knows, and right there the Spirit of God takes it up with groanings which cannot be uttered, and He gets it to God in the right capacity, so the thing that needs to be answered is put forth. Listen. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that is praying for you, watch what happens. Watch what happens. When two people take time in prayer together, regularly, there is a work of the Spirit of God between those two people, so that the heart of one is knit with the heart of the other, and one knows to pray at precisely the time the other one needs prayer. Because they've spent time speaking to the Lord together. That's why family devotions are so important. That's why it's so important that the men that are on the staff here get together in the morning and pray. Just the other day, Randy and I had an interesting experience. A situation came up, and I needed to intervene, and Randy was not in a position to do it. And he prayed, and his prayer was, "Lord, get Pastor Welder to intervene now." And I mean, I can't go into the details, but with the same words he was praying, the Lord stirred me to do something, and I did it at precisely the right time. You say, how did that happen? That's the Spirit of God. But it comes because there's time in prayer. And there's time in prayer together. So we have young families in here. Listen, pray together. Church, we get together on Wednesday night and we intercede for each other. With family problems and lost souls and medical problems and financial problems and job changes and mission fields and pastorates and all those other things. And when a church spends time in prayer together, the Spirit of God works with liberty amongst us, and God seems to burden your heart at just the right time for the sake of somebody else that you love to put up the prayer so God's will can be done. Amen. Churches pray together. Families pray together. Friends pray together. Listen. On Wednesday night, we thank the Lord for Maureen doing this. She carves out of the prayer letters from our missionaries the things that they have that we pray for. They're on these index cards, and when the groups get together on Wednesday night, we pass them out by fives to every group that's here, and the prayer requests that the missionaries have at least get covered in prayer once a week. Ought to be more often than that. Sometimes your heart is stirred at home. You remember what you prayed for and pray for them again. Why? Those men and women on the field cannot make it without somebody holding the rope at home. Amen. I've often said $1,000 without prayer is not worth nearly as much as $5 with prayer. God intercedes by the power of the Spirit of God when the Holy Spirit speaks for you in prayer. You say, what can interfere? Not praying. That'll do it. You watch couples where things get fouled up in the relationship and they're just really struggling. They may make it and all that. But I'll tell you what, one element that's gone is they're not taking time, sometime during the day, morning, night, sometime, to just put it together before God and say, God, we need this. Not praying is one, and I'll tell you another one that will get you, is repetitious prayer. Repetitious prayer will also slow down the work of the Spirit of God in this. Why? I'm not talking about praying beads or anything like that. I'm just talking about making up a list that gets stale. Now, dear Lord, help them and help him and help... You know, after a while, we laugh about it on Wednesday nights. After a while, you can just take your list and go, Lord, you know. And that just doesn't leave very much room for the Spirit of God to do something with that. Looking for a little season in prayer so he has time through you, for you, to groan with words which cannot be uttered. May I say, it's obvious this is not a private prayer language, because the private prayer language of the charismatics is one that's spoken. These are groanings which cannot be uttered. Let me give you another one. Go to Acts chapter 10. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. That's how you know the truth, and you get it when He's ready for you to have it. And the Holy Spirit speaks for you. That affects your prayer life, and that's how you know what to pray for when you really don't know what, where, how, or when. And then watch this one in Acts chapter 10. Look at verses 19 and 20. Now what's happened here is that Peter is on top of a house. He's on the rooftop. He's hungry. He goes into a trance and he sees a vision of unclean animals in a sheet lowered down from heaven. Three times he sees the vision, he doesn't know what to make of it. The reason the God showed him that is that he was getting ready to get Peter, who was a Jew, to go preach to a Gentile, and they had nothing to do with each other. Jews thought Gentiles were unclean people. And the Lord said in verse 15 of Acts chapter 10, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." So Peter's sitting there in verse 17, trying to figure out what this vision means. And the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood at the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. There's three guys. Three times he sees a vision and the Lord says, "Can you put it together now, Peter?" Watch what happens in verse 19. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." The Holy Spirit speaks to you. The Holy Spirit speaks for you. And the Holy Spirit speaks with you. When you get saved, the Bible says that the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit that you're the child of God. And so the Holy Spirit speaks with you, and in this case, the Holy Spirit directs you to people to whom you should witness. And in this case, Cornelius was a man that was devout. His prayers and alms had come up before God. God appeared to him in a vision, said, "Send for Peter." He sends for Peter. Peter comes. Cornelius is certain that he's coming. He grabs his family and his kinsmen, puts them together in the house. Peter comes down, preaches the gospel, and these men and women get saved. Who did that? Peter wasn't thinking about going to witness. He wasn't saying, "Oh God, give us a ministry to the Gentiles. Oh God, I come to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Give me the opportunity to break it open for the Gentiles." No, he's sitting up there starving to death, wondering where lunch is. But they had a habit of praying. They went during the hour of prayer and spent that time in prayer. So he's up there growling in his tummy, and the Lord uses that as an opportunity to show him something he would not have seen if he wasn't hungry. And he sees that vision, and the Lord says, "Go over there to the Gentiles." He's not thinking about going to see the Gentiles. He's thinking about how he's going to get out of this situation. If something good happens over there, how he's going to explain it to everybody. He takes six people with him. "Come on, y'all better go down here. I don't know what's getting ready to happen." Goes over there. Cornelius grabs him by the hand, treats him like a pope, bows before him. He says, "Stand up. I myself am a man just like thou art." He goes in there, just preaches all he knows to preach, right up to the remission of sins. In Acts chapter 10, verse 43, bang, the Holy Spirit comes down on Cornelius and all them as proof to the Jews that they're getting saved. They speak in tongues, only time it happens. And after that, they baptize them and they go away shaking their heads thinking, "Wow, what just happened?" And sure enough, they get called on the carpet and there's a big council of the Jews. "Hey, we heard you're down there with the Gentiles." Holy Ghost fell on them like he did on us at the beginning. "Who were we that we could withhold water?" And they're all like, "Oh yeah, I guess they really got saved." Who did that? That was the Spirit of God. That was the Spirit of God just taking a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and using him. The other day I was talking to Maureen. If Randy was planning on using this illustration the next time he preaches, he's just going to have to repeat it because I'm going to take it first. They're going to quit giving me all the good news. Maureen's been praying for a neighbor for a long time, and really the opportunities never presented themselves to be able to speak with this neighbor about the things of the Lord, just being courteous and so forth. And one day she goes out there and it's like the Spirit of God says, "Now, gently." He never does tug you and pull you down, kick you all over the place. Just gently, now. She goes over to her neighbor who's standing at the mailbox and begins to witness to her. And she said, I doubted in myself whether she even got saved. It was so easy. You know what that is? That's the Spirit of God. I got to thinking, if she told me that, I told them, you don't realize your little illustration has put a profound thought in my mind. I've reflected over the souls that I've led to Christ over the last 20 some odd years, 25, 26 years, and you know, I realized something, 28 years. Wow, it's been some time. I reflected, souls that have gotten saved have never been hard. The ones that are hard are the ones that want to argue and fight and contend and become contentious. But souls that want to get saved, it's never hard. You just sit back there, you start giving a little of this, a little of that from the gospel, and the Lord Jesus Christ is there, the Spirit of God is there, and that person gets born again. And it's not you, and you know it's not you, and it wasn't how clever you were with your program or how effectual you were with your ability to handle apologetics and debate through every cause and answer every question and quote every encyclopedia and quote every reference that's ever been written against God. It's Jesus. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit. It's just a guy that got... And the Holy Spirit speaks with you and says, hey, dude, you need to go over there and talk to this guy. You don't want him to go to hell, do you? No, I don't. Well, then tell him about me. Hey, you want to get saved? Sure I do. And you're like, what? Look at Acts chapter 16. God opens their heart. I realize this is an isolated case, but it's like this. This is representative of the way God does it. In Acts chapter 16, they go into Philippi. In verse 14, a certain woman named Lydia. See that? 16:14 Acts. A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. You can argue them into a logical understanding of the gospel, but you can't open their heart. Nobody but God can do that. It takes the Spirit of God. It takes a willing Savior and a willing witness and a willing sinner. Willing Savior, willing sinner, willing witness. Willing saint. And then we get all kind of S's. Willing Savior, willing sinner, willing saint. Wow. Who is the only person you know that can put all three of those people together? Spirit of God. So He speaks with you. He speaks with you. You say, well, what's the interference here? What could possibly stand in the way? Go back to Acts chapter 10 and I'll show you. What interrupts the ability of the Spirit of God to speak for you in prayer is you're not praying. His inability to speak to you is you don't get under the preaching and teaching the Word of God and you don't read. And what interferes with His ability to speak with you is that you doubt. Verse 20, Acts chapter 10, arise therefore, get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing. For I have sent them. Let me ask you a question here real quick. Some of you guys have been saved a while. You know what it is to witness to people. Have you ever been very, very gently nudged by the Spirit of God to go talk to somebody? And did you disobey that? Yes. You know what that is? That's doubting. That God's really in that. I'm a Jew, He's a Gentile. I can't do it. Don't doubt the Spirit of God that's in you when He's with you. Many of you raised up as willing-hearted fishers of men. We waited for a long time for God to raise up the people to go and pass out Bibles. We got into some really stony, hard ground up there in Cal Allen. A lot of doors shut, a lot of people pretending not to be home, a lot of people not interested. You get over there like that with the prettiest smile you have on your face? Hi. Is this religious? Well, yes. Bam! You want to go to another house? Not really, but okay. And you know what happened? A little doubt set in. A little ignoring of the Spirit of God. We can't let that happen. Not when it's the Spirit of God. gently speaking to you, with you, about this ministry, about your opportunity to tell somebody about Christ. You say, well, I'm just not proficient. I wouldn't know what to say. You got to remember, the Spirit of God puts these things together. And when He does, He chose you because you're just the guy that He wants to go talk to Him. Not you, or you, or you. Years ago, I remember one time I was just really, really wanting to go out and talk to people about Jesus. And I took Bo with me and I took Corinne, and they were just little bitty kids. We went to a bus stop in Pensacola, and the funny thing was there was a hedge. It was a nice exchange area where buses all came together and they all did their transfers. Nice hedge around this thing, and Bo's over there diving over the hedge back and forth. You know, pass out a few tracks and go dive over the hedge again and messing around and that kind of stuff. And there was this really handsome black lady there with her child. And I was wanting to be sure as I approached her to maintain an appropriate distance and demeanor, because I didn't want anybody to get the idea that I was there for any other reason than the reason I was there, which was to pass out a tract. So I approached her and I kept a distance like I have with you, and I said, hi, I'm a preacher and I've come to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I give you a tract? Gave it to her, passed out a few more, came back, and she's looking at it, and I said, do you know what that is? And she said, yeah, that's a tract. And I said, do you know what it's about? She said, yes, it's about the gospel. I said, good. Are you saved? And she goes, no, I'm not saved. I said, really? Why not? She said, well, it's that sinner part. It's that sinner part. She said, in order to be saved, you got to realize that you're a sinner, right? I said, yeah, that's right. She says, well, I'm not a sinner. Boy, do I ever have some news for you. About that time, out of the corner of my eye, I caught a handsome man coming across the street. And I thought to myself, I wonder if that's her husband. So I backed up. Thankfully, I was maintaining some distance. What you doing with my wife? Nothing. Came across about halfway the street. I went up and introduced myself. And I said, hi, my name is Bevins. I'm a preacher. And I'm over here. Is this your wife? He said, yes, it is. I said, well, I was just talking to her about the gospel. He goes, that's good. That's good. Where have you gotten? I said, well, we're on the first part and we're kind of hung up. He said, what's that? I said, about being a sinner. Well, what did she say? I said, she said, I'm not a sinner. What? He looked right at her and he said, and he got close. I maintained my distance. He got right in her face. You want me to tell that man what you did last night? No. You want me to tell that man what you said this morning? No. Well, then what are you going to tell that man? She said, I'm a sinner. And after that, I got to sit down with him and give her the gospel, and she was just in tears. And I said, do you want to get saved? She said, I really do. I said, this is a very precious thing. I said, you don't need me. You just need God. I said, would you like, this is a thoroughfare and all this, would you like to just go to your house in the privacy of your home with your own husband? Would you like to bow and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior there? And she said, I sure would. I said, well, then why don't you do that? That wasn't hard. You know what that was? That was just the Spirit of God speaking with me about a soul. That one. I could tell you many, many stories like that. The point I'm trying to say is, you know what interferes with it? The Holy Spirit gives you that little nudge and you ignore Him and say, that's not for me. And it is for you. That's why He nudged you. He speaks to you about the truth. He speaks for you in prayer. He speaks with you when it concerns souls. And then one more. Look with me in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 19. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 19. How are we doing? Are we all together here? Amen. Sometimes people are afraid to talk about the work of the Spirit of God. Well, we can't be that way. The Bible has so much to say about Him. Matthew chapter 10, look with me at verse 19. But when they deliver you up. Now, what are we talking about here? Well, let's start with 16. Get the context. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Now watch. When you're in a fix, he says, When they deliver you up, watch it, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Which speaketh in you. So the Holy Spirit speaks to you with the truth, for you in prayer, with you about souls, and in you in times of confrontation. In times when you've got to say just the right thing and really don't know what to say. At times when you've got that one shot and it's got to be the right thing in counsel or in preaching or whatever it may be, and the Spirit of God does it. The Holy Spirit uses your voice, but He is the one doing the talking. He puts the thoughts in your head, and He's the one that puts the words in your mouth. Many of you have heard lots of preaching in your life, but you've never had the opportunity to stand behind a pulpit and preach. Many of you never will. Most of you never will. And so it's hard for you to be able to understand and appreciate what really goes on here. You've heard me say a lot more words than I have on these scratchy looking notes this morning. You say, well, what are all those about? Well, we're all trusting that they're from the Lord God. Because if they're just coming from me, boy, that's some empty stuff. But over the years of preaching, I've noticed something. People will come to me after preaching and they'll say, preacher, this thing that you said really ministered to me. This thing that you said really ministered to me. I go back and look at the notes. Sometimes I've shown them to my wife. Those things are not in there. You say, where did they come from? They came from the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God is the only one that really knows your heart. You say, well, you're our pastor. You should know me well. I know you pretty well, but I don't know you like Jesus knows you. Nobody knows you like He does. And He communicates to the Spirit of God and says, say this, and you say it, and later on, it is exactly what that person needed to hear. People come to me and ask for counsel. Sometimes they come to you and ask for counsel. If you only had to rely upon your experience, a lot of times your counsel is going to come up a little bit shy. But when you can pray while they're speaking, God, now they came here looking for something and want to make sure to give them the right answer and nothing but the right answer. And suddenly a thought comes to your mind and you say it and you look at their eyes and they gleam and they go away with that guidance and they follow it. And you think, nobody but the Spirit of God could have done that. All He was using was a man's voice and a man's mind to say the thing that he wanted to say, because the Spirit of God doesn't have an audible voice. Sometimes you have to confront somebody and you're like, oh, these guys were being called into councils where they could be killed. And you know what he says? He says, take no thought. Didn't he say that? I'm going to tell you what ruins the work of the Spirit of God in your life when it comes to things like this. You're doing overtime in your mind thinking about what you're going to say tomorrow when you got to go see that fellow. Help me here. And you work that thing over in your mind and you work yourself up into a lather, and guess what? That very gentle, calm, sweet voice of the Spirit of God is absolutely indiscernible in your heart and mind, because you are stewed and stoked up. I know you've never been there, so I won't dwell on the point. I just thought I would make it for the sake of anybody that's listening on the recording. Matter of fact, you're so used to taking thought for yourself, you got a little committee. I'm calling a meeting of the committee. Come in here, let's talk. What are we going to say to this guy? Well, when he says this, I'm going to say that. And when she says that, I'm going to say this. And if they say that, then I'm going to do this. And I pray, and then I'm going to... The Spirit's going like, hey, say this. Can't speak in you because you're doing all the talking. Help me here. Amen. The thing that interferes with the voice of the Spirit of God in you when it comes to saying just the right thing, the thing He wants you to say, is your own thoughts and fear of the consequences. Well, if I say that, they're going to kill me sure enough. If that's what God wanted out of these called into the council to be martyred, He said, I'll give you the crown of life, but say what I once said. And quit thinking about what you're going to say. Amen. Very powerful work of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God speaks to you in truth and Scripture through preaching like we're doing today. He speaks for you in prayer and intercession. And the more you spend time praying for and with individuals, the greater and louder the voice of the Spirit of God is in that prayer. Although he's praying with groanings which cannot be uttered. He speaks with you when it comes to direction and witnessing, particularly as he wants to lead you places and you want to follow what he has to say. And he speaks in you when you have to face the council and sometimes have to face the crowd and you don't really know what to give them. Don't let anything drown out the voice of the Spirit of God in your life. It's too valuable to you. And let me say this. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, don't let anything drown out the voice of the Spirit of God in your life when He's talking to you and reproving you for sin, righteousness, and judgment. Undoubtedly in a crowd this size, there's somebody here today without Christ, and I'm telling you, the Spirit of God will come to you. Not so much in this message because we didn't preach the gospel. And he will reprove you that you're not saved. I was talking to Jake Lennon. I said, how did the camp preaching go? He said, well, it was really good. He said, now there was a lot more preaching on salvation this year than there was last year. But do you know what? 20 people got saved. And as a matter of fact, one of the persons that got saved was a counselor. And the counselor was sitting there the whole time during the preaching. But I'm already saved. He's a graduate of a Bible college. But I'm already saved. I don't need to get saved. And I didn't hear the preaching. I doubt seriously that the man was retreading people that were already saved. But there are people that go through Bible colleges. There are people that are raised in Christian homes that it's all around them but not in them. And finally he realized, I'm not righteous before God, and humbled himself before all that crowd and went up there and got saved. Well, he's got it settled now, I'll tell you. It is good, but you can't drown out the voice of the Spirit of God when He keeps saying to you, you, turkey, I'm talking to you. Today, Jeremy's leading singing for us because Bobby's in Ohio. There was a song leading camp, and he went up there Friday night and Saturday, and he's been able to get the song. He said, please pray for me. Ask God to give me the wisdom to know how to incorporate these things in our ministry. He learned a lot. He's excited. Bobby came here, and when he first came and I met him, he said, yeah, I got saved in youth camp. And I'm preaching over there in the metal building one day, and here comes Bobby up the aisle. I said, what are you doing here? He said, you didn't really say it to him just that way. I said, no, I really did. I mean, I don't always do it that way, in case you're inclined to come. But that day, I just said, what are you doing up here? He said, well, I need to get saved. I said, who told you that? And this is Bobby's testimony. He said, the Holy Spirit. I said, well, then I think you need to get saved. And Mike was the one, Yance was the one that brought him. I said, Mike, get up here and lead this guy to the Lord. And he got saved. And you know what? He knows he's saved. He knows he got saved then. And he's your song leader today. Do not drown out the voice of the Spirit of God when He's reproving you of sin, righteousness, and judgment, showing you that you're the one that needs to get saved. And you're the one that needs to get saved now. Let's pray. Father, we're very thankful today to see this great, fantastic work of the Spirit of God. I'm asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bless this message in our lives. I know there needs to be a much greater appreciation in our own lives for the work of your Spirit. Help us, Father, in these capacities. And if we have somebody here today that's lost, that's perhaps been here before, that has heard these things and knows the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but just been putting up a roadblock between you and the Spirit of God, may they yield now to the work of your Spirit and get saved. If we ask you to do all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.